and places that what we looked at, you can go there to this day and you can see the remnants of a city, or through archaeological digs you can find what we've been talking about. And I've even discovered the name of one of the top guides. He's a Dutch guy and has made it his ministry, and he's something super special, and has comes up with a lot of this stuff that we have been looking about for the last few months. But the Father's house is something that's very, very common in Christian circles. And the scripture I put there, that my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? I've used the word out of a translation, rooms, and I would say a lot of you are saying, why didn't he use the word mansions? Because that's quite common. In my Father's house has many mansions. And it's probably one of the major mess-ups with biblical translations that ever was unfolded in the Bible. Translation types, particularly through our King James and New King James versions. It gives the impression, doesn't it, of opulence and all of that sort of stuff. But it's really, when we'll have a quick peep here today, what it really means, there are rooms that the Father has provided for us. Abraham, remember Abraham? Abraham instituted this ancient tradition. He was the one that instituted this ancient tradition. And in Hebrew, it sort of really means the house of the Father. Say house of the Father. Another translation could be and would be Father's household. Say Father's household. God longs, and it's at this time of the year, as we approach this Christmas season, for every human being to come into his house, but he longs for us to know his love and care. And I really do think that a lot of Christians are still wrestling with that point and don't know and don't understand that particular point, that he longs for us to come into his house and he longs for us to know his love and care. And yet you find that a Christian that drops off church attendance for some reason, for some problem, whether it's a mental problem, a sickness problem, or please help me do this. And yes, yeah, certainly you see a lot of people come through these doors on Tuesday last. It was all about getting lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff. But I don't think they give a whole lot of thought to where it came from. Somebody came up and told me, I know Greg and Edna spent a long time making up little bags of lollies. Yay! But then somebody came and told me, a little bit after the horse had bolted, somebody was going along the table going, scoop, 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 scoop. See, they don't kind of get it, do they? And they don't get what we're talking about here, the Father's house, and the love and the compassion that he wants to extend. Tell you more about where this came from to give you better understanding. And it's only when you find a special place in his family, in God's family that we can find joy, that we can find peace, and that you can find salvation. Joy, peace, and salvation. But a lot of people don't understand that that's already there. That's the gift that is already there for the unwrapping at this time of the year for every one of us in this room now, and those that listen to the sound of my voice through the internet. It's already there. You can take it, or you can stop at home and feel dreadfully sorry for yourself, feel alone, no joy, no peace. It's so sad, isn't it? And yet God has designed this structure so that it accommodates those very, very things that I've just spoken about. In God's plan, there are a number of things. The Father is there to protect. The Father is there to protect and provide for his family in every way. And boy, the Australian culture has a lot to learn from our neighbours on what that means in the natural realm. Robin and I come from an area in Victoria where there's a lot of southern Italians. And I don't think it works that way now, but when we were there and when those children were going to school, the father had a very, very dominant role in the households. Very dominant. You might say, oh, that doesn't fit the 2018. I've seen how our Indonesian friends work together, and the Australians can learn. And I've seen elements, and I'm not an authority on it, our Malaysian friends. And you go through this, and I've certainly seen it in Argentina. When the patriarch of the family says something, boy, it means something. But there's a couple of good buts in the whole living end of this. In biblical times, listen to this, and a lot of you would say, oh, no. In a Jewish home that was headed by the father had supreme rights. You've all gone quiet. And he had supreme rights over his kids, over his children, and could marry off his daughters. Now, that wouldn't work real good here in Australia, would it, today? He could even divorce his wife if he wished. He could arrange marriages for his sons and even sell his children. We were talking about things this morning of our Indigenous contacts. And by the way, I'm not saying that this is the only way to go. I'm saying what a Jewish father had the rights. It's a difficult thing to even comprehend any of that. How do we relate to that in modern times? Maybe with some degree of difficulty. But in God's plan, the Father was there to protect and provide for his family in every way. Say protect. That whole thing hinged around protection. Basically, the concept of the Father's house includes your family, your extended family. So we've got father, we've got mother, we've got brothers, sisters, cousins, relatives from Malaysia, I was going to say, no, not Alex has got a few coming. Cousins, aunts, uncles. That whole thing was based around that. All of your relatives. It's a life arrangement in which everything and everyone are under the care and protection of the patriarch of the family. So you can see tracing right back to Abraham how that started and continued all of the way through. And I think we would struggle to try and live a little bit like under that system. The interesting part about it, it's a life arrangement. Everyone under the care and protection of the patriarch, and it is his job as father to meet every need of the household. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? To lose your part of the father's house is everything. If you lost it, you're almost basically like an orphan. That's another story for another day. So God in his wisdom created this as a picture of his kingdom. For he is our heavenly Father and he is our sovereign protector. Say sovereign protector. Now, central to that, I'm going to read a little bit of that, central to the whole concept here is redemption. And we immediately think it's a sense of redemption from sin. But this concept of redemption is redeeming what is lost. Say lost. I'll get you participating and you can preach the message. In other words, bringing it back to the father's house. For example, if a family member lost a piece of property, if a family member went bankrupt, if a family member became marginalized in some way, if that happened, it was the father's responsibility to use all of his resources to bring that person back into fellowship and restoration in the Father's house. That is a stunning picture as you move into this Christmas period. You'd restore that man or woman, and that restoration process would be to safety and security. The father would do whatever it takes to redeem his family member. Now, before I gave you the list of family members, which covers virtually all of the in-laws, out-laws, cousins, all of them fall into that category. It's an amazing thing. I guess it's the same in modern times. God is our Redeemer and he says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are mine. That's out of Isaiah 43:1. And that is what God is saying to each and every one of you today. You are mine. You are mine. You are mine. And to those of us who are alienated from home, to those of us who are marginalized, cast out, lost, God is crying out today, I am your father. I will do anything to buy you back and restore you to my family. Or as Jeremiah 29:11 says, to give you hope and a future. Say that, hope and a future. He's saying to you today, I will give you hope and a future. He's saying today, and he's saying for 2019, I will give you hope and a future. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how bad all of that appears, God wants to restore you. That's his master plan. He'll do anything to buy you back. And I think you all probably know what is done to buy us back through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. He made that possible by sending Jesus. Jesus died so that we could be redeemed also from sin and rejoin the Father's family. In John 14:2, which was up there, Jesus was teaching about the Father's house, and he told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. However, it's really important translation. It's not that the Bible's wrong, it's the translators are quite wrong. The word mansions in some translation implies this lavish lifestyle. It even implies a lifestyle of privilege. But there should be a picture of the church becoming the bride of Christ. I think we sang a little bit about this, but the Bible talks about Jesus as the lover of our soul in the Song of Solomon. And using the concept of marriage as a picture and an expression of unity and intimacy that completes a human being. I'll just finish with this and saying that a better Greek translation is what we had up early at the beginning, John 14:2, is rooms, not mansions. In my Father's house has many rooms. And in this passage, Jesus is referring to Jewish wedding customs. In ancient times, the Father's house was designed to be able to add a room for every newly married son. That could be a pretty long house, couldn't it? At any rate, after the engagement, the prospective groom would return to his father's house and begin to build a new room for himself and his bride in the Father's house. Interesting. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. After the marriage, the groom took and his bride would be given his new room. Their own room. A place where they could privately explore their new life together in a private and intimate setting. That's the Father's house. And in this fashion, the Father's house would continue to grow as the family grew. Boy, you wouldn't want to have 10 or 12 sons. I was thinking about this and was doing some research. But then when we look at the heavenly comparison, that's going to be one big house. Makes you think. But he wants you. He wants you so desperately. He doesn't want you to delay a moment longer. If you don't have that that certainty of heart that Jesus, who he sent, was sent to redeem you, to pay the price for you, so the Father could say, "You're mine, Stafford. You're mine. You're mine." A member of the Father's house, Jody. Pretty good. Decorate it however you like. Put on some music to play us out before we break off for lunch. Anybody in here needs prayer or wants to see me, just come forward. We're an easy to get along with mob as this music plays. It could be for sickness or anything. If anybody doesn't know much or kind of considers, I don't know whether I'm in the Father's house, come and see me and have a talk with me. I'd love to talk with you and make sure you leave this building with that guarantee. You can say, "I belong to the Father." Thanks, Fred.